Hey, friends, welcome to another episode of Worldview Matters. Reassignment surgeries lead to higher suicide rates, but this is a multi-billion dollar industry. Today's guest, Denise Schick, wrote a book called Out of the Darkness and Into the Light. When she was 9 years old, her father told her he wanted to be a woman, and then he pursued a transition. We're going to talk about her story next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, thank you so much for tuning in. This is one of those podcasts that's going to help you or someone you know that has a friend or a family member or someone that they know struggling with gender dysphoria, and they bought the lies. And this is a demonic agenda, friends, but you've got to approach it with love and compassion and truth always. But I want to bring in Denise Schick, and she's with Living Stones Ministries, and she's the author of the new book, Out of the Darkness and Into the Light. Very important book. We really need to get this to people who are struggling with to understand this issue. Denise is the founder and executive director of Help for Families, the number four, Help for Families Ministry, as well as the director of Living Stones Ministry. She's the author of four children's books, several nonfiction books, including My Daddy's Secret, Understanding Gender Confusion, A Faith-Based Perspective, and Transgender Confusion, A Biblical Q&A for Families. Denise has led church-based support groups for people with sexual addictions and has assisted groups in alcohol and substance abuse. She served 7 years in a Christian pregnancy center in several roles and implemented an abstinence program for which she was the director. So she's got a very vast background, very important work. Denise, so good to see you today. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me on. It's great to be with you today.
Well, thank you for being, used by the Lord, being willing to use by the Lord to talk about your story. And I'm sure there's a lot of pain, a lot of trauma in your background. So before we get to the book, and I want to go back to when you were 9 years old. Really briefly, before we do that, is Amazon the best place to get this, or would you prefer people go to a website?
Yeah, they can do either. You know, Amazon has it. If they want to go to our website, help4families.com or org, it will actually take them to our children's bookstore or the regular adult books that we have published.
Great. And then at livingstonesministries.org, there's a tab at the top that says resources, and there's a bookstore there. Okay, so Denise, let's jump right in here. There's a lot of people that in the last 5 to 10 years in particular that have unfortunately been affected in some way by transgenderism, this ideology that really removes God and then says we can be whatever sex we feel like being. Well, tell us how that affected you when you were 9 years old and what that did in your family.
At first, to be very honest with you, I didn't think that it would impact me. I understood at 9 years old that my dad and I were two separate people, but immediately I discovered that I was grieving the loss of my dad because he didn't want to be my dad. He didn't want to be a male. And so the difficulties in that grieving process and understanding what families go through, by the time I was 11 years old, I started to second guess God and wondered if God did make a mistake with dad, then how do I know he's not and hasn't made a mistake with me and I should have been a boy? Playing out the imagination for a couple of years in the privacy of my bedroom, what does a man walk like? What does he talk like? And pretending that I was a man. I understood that, wait a minute, if I believe that God made a mistake with dad and then he made a mistake with me, when did those mistakes end? So I realized, you know, that if we believe one lie of the enemy, that God makes mistakes, that leads us down a path of looking at the belief system that there are errors in God's ways. And so it was really at that point that I thought, I believe God, I believe God's word, and I believe that God does not make mistakes, that he is the perfect of all creation that could be. But because of the craziness in my home, I began to save my babysitting and lunch money to buy alcohol. I was looking for some way to numb the pain that I was going through. Hadn't told anybody what my dad had shared with me that day, not even my mother. And so here I am still carrying the grief of the loss of a dad. I've walked through the confusion, and now I'm entering into becoming a young woman, which brought different challenges because my father became very envious of what I was becoming. Along with that, he began to take my own clothing and other items, makeup and such, that it was like I didn't have anything that was really mine. And I was losing the being comfortable in my home with being a woman, with being a young woman, and what my body was, how I was developing. So I began to actually take my clothes, something real feminine that I wanted to wear, maybe a dress. I would take it to high school and I would put it on there where I was comfortable, and then back to the jogging pants or sort, you know, to go home in. It was a very chaotic childhood.
I can understand that. I mean, my goodness, when you explain how you as a young girl, you're growing into your mature body as a female, and after what your dad shared, and he's starting to borrow your things, I'm going, wow, that really, did you share that with your friends, or was there anyone you could talk to during those first number of years, what you were struggling with?
No, I hid. I was embarrassed. I also was afraid that I would be rejected by my peers if they knew that my dad was dressing as a woman, that he was going to the local bars with his redheaded wig, taking on that identity. So I didn't tell a soul. To me, it was the only one that I had to cry out to and to look to was God himself, and understanding that God was there despite everything else of not being able to trust anybody. He would be there and I would cry out to him. I'd look at the blue sky on a summer day and say, I don't know why this is happening to my dad. I don't know why this is happening to my family, but I know you're with us. And really believing that it was through the strength that God had given me to continue as the years progressed.
So tell us about your faith background. Were you a part of a church at the time? Were your parents? How did you know to, you know, turn to God for some of this help?
Yeah, I was raised Catholic. And so it wasn't until the age of 15 when I started to date my husband now, who went to a small private or community church. And it was there where they were raising their hands, praising Jesus, talking about Jesus being your personal Lord and Savior. And I knew nothing about that. I never experienced that in my Catholic faith, but I was so hungry for it. And so I just found that through having conversations with Mark and asking him questions about the Bible and the differences, that really drew me in, and I wanted what he had.
So I want to go back to your book and write on the first couple pages, a great endorsement from June Hunt with Hope for the Heart and the Hope Center. She's authored some books on people struggling with same-sex attraction, but she said, in this rare and insightful book, Denise Schick exposes the insidious lies causing gender confusion in our culture. Parents, grandparents, and those seeking the truth about the transgender world will gain a firm grasp on God's divine design for the only two sexes. He created male and female. You will also learn how to refute misconceptions, and this is a big one, with both scientific and biblical truth, while others will be personally empowered to turn away from their own gender confusion. And she goes on. So June Hunt, some great words there. We're going to talk about that, how to refute some of this. But Denise, how did you connect with June Hunt? What a great endorsement.
Oh, it was a really interesting story. I'm going to say probably about 15 years ago, I was at a conference and June had called a ministry colleague of mine asking questions about transgenderism. And she was just becoming interested, starting to hear more and more about this. And so through that, my colleague said, well, just a second, I have somebody that you need to speak with. And so we would set up times to talk and to share and developed a really wonderful sister friendship between us and really respect her. And I know that's mutual for her as well. So it's a treasure.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to look at the table of contents really briefly. I want you to share whatever you'd like. This is really your opportunity to share some important points that people really need to understand about this and hopefully to get your book. But you talk about divine design. You talk about rebellion, envy, manipulation, minimizing sin, a critical spirit, life out of trauma, exposing the darkness, and living in the light. But I skipped one because Isaiah 5:20 says, God warns, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Denise, as you know, that's what's happening in America. That's what's happening around the world today. But in our culture, evil is being called good and good is being called evil. They're redefining the language. They have their talking points. And I want to go back to that chapter 6, good and evil, and ask you how... give us an idea of how to start refuting some of the many lies on this issue of transgender ideology. Share whatever you'd like on that.
I think that our hearts have to be open to the truth. When we have a loved one, let's speak specifically about my dad. I understood at 9 years old that he was really running from who he was because of the pain in his life. I already knew that he and his father did not get along. It was a very challenging relationship. I also understood the emotional and physical abuse by his mother, who was an alcoholic. What I didn't know until 9 years old is that he was sexually abused. So when we look at the trauma that individuals go through, they're looking for somewhere to escape who they are. And of course, Satan is right there to open up the door and say, head this way. It'll be okay. You'll be free, right? But really, that freedom ends them in bondage. And I say bondage because when somebody goes to transition, they are on estrogen, they are on testosterone. So many of them are antidepressants, anxiety medications. It is almost like a lifetime pharmacy need and a need for a doctor, when really the work of the Holy Spirit that can come in and give such a genuine healing of what that person needs because of what they've been through. So a lot of folks, countless folks, have been through different journeys that have been extremely painful.
Trauma. You know, a lot of people have rough backgrounds. I mean, really horrific. And there's a lot of trauma. Some people have PTSD. It's understandable how people would want to find a way to maybe run away from who God made them for who they are. But I want to go back to another chapter on rebellion that we mentioned in your book. You say the exaltation of a child's feelings above all common sense is rebellion against God, giving them false hope that surgery or hormones will solve their problem is not just naive, it's evil. So let's talk about this idea of rebellion against God, because a lot of people mean well and they want to be compassionate, but they're not actually helping the person that's struggling. Please share whatever you'd like to about that.
Yeah, you know, when we go against God's plan, and the fact that we are going, when somebody transitions, right, they're going against God's plan. They are created by him uniquely and specifically for his design to bring him glory. And so to transition, for a woman to have a double mastectomy or take testosterone to sound like a man to develop the muscular body, that is going against God's plan. That is in living in rebellion. But unfortunately, we have to remember, I don't say unfortunately we have to remember, we have to remember that unfortunately they are darkened to the truth. because Satan has again whispered and given them an idea that this is where they will be free. This is where they can be, in a sense, true to self. But it only leads them further into the darkness.
So, friends, we've got to take a brief pause. We're with Denise Schick, the author of Out of the Darkness and Into the Light, Winning the Battle of Gender Identity. And you can get that on Amazon, of course, but also at the website, livingstonesministries.org. There's also a Facebook page called Help for Families, the number four, Help for Families. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily. World news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Friends, thanks to you, our episodes have been doing very well out on all of our across our various platforms. Praise God. Apple, Spotify, Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, and our Freedom Project Media app. Make sure you subscribe to our new, as of the last couple months, YouTube channel. It's Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo. Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo. Back to author Denise Schick with, there it is, Living Stones Ministry. Sorry, Denise, I had a fade there, my brain fade. Help is here for you. So going back to your dad briefly, and then I want to jump back into the book because there's some, we need to talk about children's hospitals and other things in this, just what's the craziness that's happening. Did your dad blame God? Did you already mention that? Or did you know that? Did he blame, I know he was angry probably at his dad. Did he blame God for what he was struggling with?
No, he actually would have told you that he didn't believe in God, you know, which again is another sign of rebellion. And you know, to him, if he wanted to talk with God, if he wanted to be with God, he could take a walk in the woods. He told my mother one day, he doesn't need to go to church, which, you know, okay, you don't. But my dad really, from what I can recall, never really blamed everybody. He really believed that he was born in the wrong body. And so with that belief system, that's what ran his life, you know. And sadly, after 13 years of living as the persona, as Becky, in his own words, he said, this did not bring me the fulfillment that I thought that it would. And that was so, wow. It's so devastating anyways, as a family member, to watch your loved one go through this, but to realize that now they get it, that they've lost everything in the process. They've lost those years. You can repair family relationships. You can repair whatever friendships, you know, try your best to do that. But when it comes to the years that they've lost, the times that they would have had with those so dear to them, they've lost that. And that to me is very heart-wrenching for the person.
So Denise, in some of the notes I have here, it says, obviously, transgender surgery, it is big business. We've been talking about this for years, those of us trying to get the truth out there, who believe, you know, God, God's design, and the word of God is true. And it lines up with science, by the way, and biology and DNA and everything else. But it says this is a $2.1 billion a year industry. This is big business. It's expected to be a $5 billion dollar industry by the year 2030. That's just 5 years away. And on page 34 in your book, let's talk about hospitals. A lot of people understand how individuals can fall for the talking points, fall for the lies, the satanic lies. But hospitals that are supposed to help people, to help especially children's hospitals, it says hospitals join in the push to destroy the mental and physical health of the most vulnerable ones, our children, those who most need our protection. And it says, Seattle Children's Hospital offers education guides that encourage medical professionals to quickly offer cross-sex medical treatments such as menstrual suppression and puberty blockers to young patients with gender identity issues. And it goes on. So hospitals are doing this. Denise, help us understand how this has gotten to the medical profession.
Well, I think that, you know, as we see, the money is driving this. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. I remember years ago when a ministry leader had asked me, Denise, what do you think is driving this agenda? And I had told the individual then, it's money. And he actually chuckled at me, you know, just kind of laughing it off. But it is money driven. When you think about somebody that transitions or starts puberty blockers as a young person, can you imagine the lifetime if they live to be 75 years old when they are on all these different prescriptions and the testosterone, the estrogen, all of the effects of these drugs as well, when they are the synthetic drugs into a body that wasn't meant to have testosterone or estrogen. And I love God's word and how science does back up God's word. The physical bodies, you know, that men are more prevalent to Parkinson's disease. And there are different cells in the body that's why men have more hair on their arms or on their chest and their face. And women are more prevalent with the gene that we'll call the fat gene. You know, so there's all these gene expressions that are different. And if you, what's so amazing is the study of blood. I've just started to become very interested in the difference of male and female blood. And all you've got to do is Google and see that there is a huge difference. And that backs up God's word that he created male and female. He created them as male and female. God does not make mistakes. And if somebody's questioning if God did, then I would suggest you ask yourself, where does God's mistakes end? When do you stop believing in God and in the truth?
So we know most people watching and listening to this podcast are Bible-believing Christians, some more mature than others, some younger in the faith. But nonetheless, we believe God's word. We believe God's design. We believe Genesis, the book on creation. And we know it. Science aligns with the Bible. And what you were just explaining, God's design is masterful. It is perfect. Yeah. God designed people exactly who he wants them to be and how he wants them to be. So then how have we reached the point where it's controversial to protect young girls in sports? Or how did we reach the point where we've lost touch with reality and people just jump to the conclusion that, well, I guess I better change genders to be happy?
Yeah, the propaganda is absolutely so, so thick and the road is so long.
Yes.
I never thought in my lifetime that I would see where children are being affirmed and encouraged to identify, begin to live the life of the opposite of who they are. It just is stunning to think about what has happened. But for so long, folks didn't realize what has been going on in the school system. What has been going on in preschools? My goodness, if people would go to their libraries and look at the preschool books in regards to LGBT, they would probably be stunned at the books. That's really why I believe God had created such a deep desire to write children's books, to have something to combat the lies. Mm. And the way that they are instructing children, if they're not sure who they are, that they're questioning it. We need to be teaching our children mathematics and history and yes. English, not how are you identifying. There are stories that I have heard from parents where their elementary child in first and second grade on a Friday, the teacher will ask them, do you identify as a boy or a girl today? That's absolutely insane.
And we're hearing that, and they're reaching children. I call it access. Those who would do harm to our children have access to younger and younger children, primarily through government education, but other areas too in our society. But I want to go to in the back. By the way, friends, Out of the Darkness and Into the Light, it's 100 pages. It's not this massive volume with a lot of technical jargon. It's very compelling, and the stories are that she shares and the scriptures that back up how she makes her points are very important for us to understand. So make sure you get that. But in the back, it just mentions two of your books, Denise. One of them is I Am Glad God Made Me a Girl. And the other one tells your story when you were young, when Daddy leaves to be a girl. And I just want to encourage people to check that out in the back of her book. But you encourage people to stand up against those who want to deconstruct our society. What's the best approach to take this stand when it comes to gender ideology?
You know, we can listen to what, I don't like the word opponents, but so many people understand that terminology, you know, listen to what the other side is saying, but not to shy away from speaking the truth that you know, the research that you have found on your own through reliable resources, to speak as well on God's word in those conversations when allowed. But people can vote. And I think it's so important.
Yes.
And something that we have forgotten is the power of voting for who is in office. So I highly encourage people to know who's there, who's coming up for election, and to vote, to become involved in your schools, the school board meetings and such. Some people would probably be absolutely so heartfelt, heavy, disappointed in their school districts if they only knew of what is going on with the affirmation, with the teaching of this ideology. You have to become involved. It's not anymore really a choice. It's how can I do that? And so yes. Pray, ask God, how can I, as your follower, be effective in today's world and to be able to speak your truth, to try to navigate. Sometimes it might be going to speak at a House or Senate hearing as well. And I've done those, and I know they're very difficult and can be very challenging, but we have to stand for God's truth always in grace and in love as well. But we have to stand. We have to stand for something, because we're seeing what's happened with a culture that's been like the wind.
So, yeah, you said a lot there that's very important. But yes, absolutely, friends, it's happening all around us. We've got to be aware of it. We've got to be engaged. We've got to protect children. Denise, you've got the Facebook page I want to send people to, Help for Families, the number 4, Help for Families. And then the website, again, friends, livingstonesministries.org. And check out the book. Like I said, it's just 100 pages. Quick read. Thank you, Denise Schick, for bringing in the spiritual perspective. Mm-hmm. This is a satanic battle. It's a spiritual battle at its core, and the warfare is being played out. It's manifesting in the natural all across our culture and country, as we're seeing. And we need to be aware, understand the times, and know how to respond. Your book helps us to do that. Thank you again. God bless you. We appreciate your
time. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Again, friends, very, very important. Another one of those books that's not a massive book, but very important. You can buy several copies. I would highly recommend that. And you know someone who could use it. I know you do. God bless you, friends. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.